All God's children said,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We'll begin reading there in verse number 35, and we'll read through verse 45. And there's a lot more reading that we'd like to do, but for time's sake, we'll read from verse 35 through verse number 45. If you're visiting with us this morning, we appreciate you being here, and it looks like we've got a lot of folks who are visiting in other places this morning. And on this last, I think somebody told me one time that Labor Day weekend kind of marks the end of summer vacation time, so I suppose some are taking advantage of that. And so we want to pray one for another, and some are traveling, so be sure that you do pray for each other. But I'm thankful that you are here today and that we are here to worship the Lord. Amen. That we're to be encouraged by fellowship with one another. We're to be encouraged in the songs that we sing, and we're to be encouraged by the Word of God. So thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and again, just one more thing I want to say before I read the scripture is that our Ridgecrest and Sinlaw, it is for the purpose of training and teaching and encouraging, and so you know, if you're a Sunday school teacher, I kind of expect that you would, if at all possible, put aside this this weekend and that particular weekend and go and attend that conference just a half a day. And if nothing else, you may not learn anything new necessarily, but maybe it'll get the creative juices flowing in your mind so that you are just encouraged to teach the Word and do it well. For any of you that are not teachers that want to go, then you're certainly welcome to go. And we want you, maybe some of you here saying, well, I'd like to be a Sunday school teacher someday, but I just don't know how. Well, here's a good place to start. And it's right there in Pineville at First Baptist Church. It's put on by our association and others. And so we want you to go and to be a part of that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 35. If you are able to stand, would you stand with us, please, as we read from the Word of God. Paul writes here under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Corinth, winding up this, what we have marked off as the first letter to the Corinthians. Verse 35, chapter 15. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the day and for the opportunity to be together, to worship together. Thank you, Lord, for giving us these instruments and those that play them. Thank you, Father, for giving us these great hymns and songs and choruses, and for those that you moved on to write them down and preserve them. And Father, that today we might lift our voices as we sing unto you. And Lord, that our hearts are encouraged by it. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us, Lord, this time, Lord, not only to fellowship and to sing, but thank you, Lord, you've given us this time to worship you around your word, around your truth. Lord, to learn of you and Lord, to allow your word to work in us, to bring alive in us, Lord, your own spirit. God, allowing us to be born again, and not only to be born again for this life, but to be born again for eternity. Lord, to know that we have hope beyond this life, and God, beyond this mortal body that we live in. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet word. Now, open our ears to hear it. Open our hearts to receive it. We need your truth today. We need you, blessed God, to just, Lord, take your word and Lord, make it so real to us that, Lord, we would desire to have it, have a passion to be obedient to it, and have a passion to study more of it. Lord, we ask you now for this message and for the power to preach it. We pray, Father, that you would use it as you draw lost people to be saved, as they repent and believe upon you. Lord, as you take and use it to renew backsliders who need to come back to their first love and first passion, as you use it to encourage each of us today in this place, to instruct us, to exhort us, to correct us in whatever means that we in our lives need today, your word, I pray that, God, you'd apply it to our hearts. And Lord, we shall give you praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. This morning, I'd like for us to speak briefly on glorification. Now, I don't have time to develop all of that, what goes on, nor do I have the intelligence, by the way, to develop everything that goes into the glorification that God has for his children. But I want us to just take a quick thumbnail look at it this morning. And though it might be 2 or 3 hours, it's still just a start into what glorification means. But anyway, some of you got that and some of you didn't. We'll try to hold it to under 3 hours, I promise. But anyway, here we go. We are looking at glorification today. And whenever we pick up in the Word of God and what is marked off for us, 1 Corinthians, we know, of course, that the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, was correcting some issues in the church and some false doctrine that had come up and things that had been abused. And anywhere that Satan could try to get a stronghold in the church with divisions and strife and all sorts of false doctrine and things that's to sidetrack the church and to keep the church from fulfilling the Great Commission to preach the Word and see folks saved and all of those things. Paul was, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, straightening out a lot of those things. Well, one of the things that he was having to straighten out here was the thought about the resurrection. Now you would think, well, you know what? What real importance would that be in our faith? And what real importance would it be? Friends, I want you to understand today that it has a great importance for us in how that we live right now and how that is going to affect us in the future. Amen? Because in verse number 19 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes this, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." You see, friends,
Christianity is not about a checklist that we have to check off just to make sure that we're doing everything every day in order to try to please God. Amen. It's not about just, are we just going to be a good person? Are we just going to be, are we just going to please God? Are we going to come to the end of the way someday and find out, well, we did this many good things and that many bad things, and God's going to weigh it all out and that sort of thing? No, it's about knowing and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. We've talked about that we are God's special people, and we're special because God redeemed us. Amen. He reached down, he paid the price through Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit, he convicts us that we're a sinner. When we respond and say, yes, Lord, he does a miraculous work of regeneration of the Holy Spirit. That's salvation. When we are saved, we belong to God. We're born again. He gives us his Spirit to live within us. We become his dear children. Amen. And as we become his dear children, we talk about justification, how that God simply declares to God that we are justified. Amen. Our sins are atoned for, paid for. We do not have to, we don't have to try to work out and pay for our sins. Those that we are simply justified before God. He declares us to be free from the penalty of sin, that we no longer will face eternal death. Amen. And then as we are justified, we know that he continues to work in our life day by day to sanctify us, to set us apart, to make us more like him. And that process of sanctification goes on and on in our life. Well, I want you to know today that through the process of sanctification, as God allows us to stay here, we face a lot of issues in our life, and we face some corrections, and we face some troubles in life. And by the way, we face troubles in life just because we're in a troubled, sin-sick, fallen world. Amen? And we're in this old body. But friends, I want you to know that when we know who we are in Christ, and when we have hope of Christ beyond just getting by from day to day. Friend, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you ought to be looking far ahead of getting by just through the day and just through the morrow and making it from one day to the next to the next. Why? Because we have a blessed hope that abides within us. By the knowledge of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he has life for us and that he has it more abundantly. Amen? That he is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords over every issue of the physical life, of death, the grave, and everything that comes beyond. Amen. He is God. He abides in us. We abide in him. We don't have to just get through. Amen. Now, there's times in our life when we have that troubles, and we're thinking, God, just get me through today. And he will. But friends, listen, we those times should be short-lived, if you will, because our hope goes beyond this life. Amen. We have the hope of eternal life. Amen. God has given us this body, but he's given us this body to live a life for him in anticipation and expectation and hope of the great God that he is to us. Amen. I want you to look at this. Here was a lot of false teaching about the resurrection, and some would say, well, it's already happened, and some would say, no, it's not going to happen. There's not a life after death. There's not another body. It's all spiritual and all those things. I'm going to take just a few minutes this morning, and again, I won't develop everything, but hopefully I won't confuse you, but just give you a glimpse of what God has for his children. But some say, how are the dead raised up? How could it be possible that we would have hope beyond this life? How could it be? And thou fool, don't you know that which thou sowest is not quickening, lest it die? that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that the body that shall be but bare wheat, it may chance of wheat or other, some other grain, God giveth it a body as has pleased him. Now, here's what the problem is. The problem is that we know a lot about what's going on right now in this life. Amen? Why? Because we have some sense. Don't we? Is that some sense or some have sense? Okay, anyway. we have sense or we have senses. Amen? We see what's going on around us. We can touch things that are around us. We can hear things that are around us. And bearing any impairment that we might have, we're able to perceive things that are around us. And we have a mind to think. And all of that data kind of goes in through our senses. And our mind begins to think on it. And then we begin to form thoughts and opinions, and we begin to have some logic that goes on. Hopefully, we begin to logically think about it. So we know a lot about what's going on around us. Amen? And we know a lot about this life and all those things. But the thing is that we don't know what we can't see or hear are things that we've never experienced before. We don't know those things. And so here's what the problem is in believing God. First of all, nobody has in this room has just seen God in the form of man and come and sit down with you and say, all right, here's what it is for sanctification. Here's what it is for justification. Here's what it is for regeneration. Here's what it is for glorification. We hadn't seen God do that. And so we have His Word. And so we have to try to pull from His Word. And by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we have to begin to see with faith what God has for us. And we have to understand God's Word. But here's the people don't want to do that. You see, people think, if I haven't experienced it before, then certainly it must be. It must not be. Amen? If I can't see it or hear it or feel it or touch it, it's in the flesh realm. Amen? And so you have problems with that. Well, so it is with the resurrection. Some would say, how in the world could there be a bodily resurrection? How could a person ever receive a glorified body? How could a person ever get this spiritual body? Well, friends, the fact is that there's a lot of things that we really don't understand. Amen? Now, if we were to just think about for a moment, you'll think with me about an acorn. Amen? If you just took these little acorns right here and you held them in your hand and you thought about them, and just bear in mind, and just go along with me here for a moment, let's just say that you didn't see the tree that this acorn come off of. And let's suppose for a moment that you never ever related an acorn to an oak tree. If you are looking at these acorns in your hand, you might even know, somebody might come by and tell you, that's an acorn. But you might look at that acorn and you think, what good is this? Well, is it something to eat? Well, possibly you could eat it if you got hungry enough. Amen. Is it just squirrel feed? What is it? If you had never ever related this acorn to an oak tree, you could never ever imagine that a huge oak tree could ever come from something that you could hold in your hands. Amen. It would just be impossible. In fact, for some of us who've seen an oak tree and we've held acorns in our hand, we still don't understand how it can be. But yet here's the resurrection. And here is the glorification of our body. You see, except there be a grain of wheat, except there be a little acorn, except there be a seed that would be in the hand of God, how could it ever be anything else? Amen? Here we have a seed. It doesn't look anything like an oak tree. It doesn't resemble an oak tree in any kind of manner. It is so weak. If you took that acorn out of your hand and put it on the ground, don't do it in your hand. If you put it on the ground and you stepped on it with your foot, you could crush it. You understand, man? You could take that acorn and you could just sling it around. You could throw it and maybe a great distance if you got a good throwing arm. Amen? But in either case, if you don't have a good throwing arm, you can at least throw it away. It's a little bitty acorn. It's a little bitty seed. It doesn't look like an oak tree. It's not strong like an oak tree. It's not immovable like an oak tree. It's very fragile. And yet an oak tree is not. You see, to look at this acorn in your hand, friends, you cannot imagine an oak tree if you just focus on the acorn. Amen? So are our lives in the hand of God. He has brought us to a place to be in this life, to have a body, to live, to place our lives in His hand. And by the way, we are in His hand whether we are submissive or not. Amen? Everyone is in the hand, the control, the power of God. Everyone. But He has brought us here in this place. He made Adam the very first man. And Adam was made a living soul according to verse number 45. He took, if you will, the elements of red clay, and He built a body, and He breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. He became an acorn, if you will, in the hand of Holy God, with something special happening within him that nobody else could see. If there would have been a million people on earth, they couldn't have seen the living spirit within him. They could see the body. And they could never ever see what Adam was going to be in the future. Friends, so it is with us. We have this body. We have this life that God has given us. And when we are born, it is more than just a body that is born. The soul and the spirit, often and most often used synonymous together. Friends, we have something that is alive in us that makes us different from every other body in all of creation, regardless of what the scientists say. There's something different about our body. And so that body is made and it's formed and within us. But we, like Adam, friends, just as soon as we have opportunity, we sin against Holy God. We transgress against Him. And because of that, we have a separation that takes place between us and God. And we don't have that wholeness in relationship. And the Scripture teaches us that in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23 says we're all going to die because all have sinned. Every last one of us. Amen? Just as soon as we got old enough to do it, we did it. Hello? Are y'all with me? Amen? As soon as we had the capacity to think right from wrong, we chose the wrong. We sinned against God. Hebrews 9:27 says, because of that, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. So I want to tell you something about this life that God gives us, about this body that God gives us. Every one of us are going to die. Amen? Now you say, woo, that's a refreshing, encouraging thought. Amen? It is. Every one of us is going to die. Amen. But listen to me. God has more for us. Amen. I want you to understand that this body, why do we have to die? Well, because of sin. What does that do? Well, in our bodies, 1 Corinthians 15:50 said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." You see, we become perishable when we sin in the fact that we're all going to die, amen. And that dying body, this perishing body, this corruptible body, this mortal body cannot inherit the wonderful eternity that God has in His kingdom. None of us can. And by the way, who wants to live for an eternity in this body? How many of you woke up this morning and said, "Oh!" Huh? Yeah. How many of you went to do something? You went to bend over and you said, "Oh! Oh!" Huh? Boy, I tell you what, sometimes just putting your shoes on is a chore. Amen? Sometimes your fingers don't work like they're supposed to, and sometimes you got a headache, and sometimes you got a toothache, and sometimes you got a toe ache, and sometimes you just hurt mostly all over. Amen? That's just the way we are in this body. Well, God doesn't have a plan for this body for all of eternity. Amen? Why? Sin made us mortal. Sin made us corruptible. Sin made us perishable. And God's kingdom for all of eternity is not about mortality. Amen? It's not about corruptibility. Amen? It's not about corruption. It is about incorruption. And it is about immortality. Amen? This body must die. Why? We can't inherit the kingdom of God. We can't live for eternity in this body. It's fallen. It's sin sick. Amen? So what happens at death? Well, Genesis, we know part of what happens at death already by experience. Genesis 3:19 says that we return to the ground. God was talking to Adam because of the curse of sin. He said, "You're going to return to the earth because you were taken from the dust of the earth, and to the dust of the earth you shall return." Amen. We know that at death, this body starts to deteriorate. And except with the things of the works of men's hands to try to preserve it, it's going to just deteriorate. Now, I know that's not a good thing just before lunch, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Amen? It's going to deteriorate. You just, most of you have been around enough and you've been beside the bed of a loved one or someone else that's closed their eyes in death, and something happened immediately.
Yeah, amen.
Things begin to happen.
Amen.
All of a sudden, it doesn't look just the same. Doesn't feel the same.
Amen.
Something happens at death. This body starts to deteriorate. Well, something else happens at death. What causes that? Because that living soul, that breath of life that God breathed into Adam, that's been breathed into every person since then, who's alive, friends, that spirit leaves that body. You see that? That's really what death is. Is when the spirit leaves the body. Now, there may be some functions that go on, just happen, reflex, whatever else. But friends, what really marks death is when the spirit leaves the body. Amen? James 2:26, and of course it's talking about something, but it states the truth. The body without the spirit is what? Dead. The spirit leaves the body. That's what death is, friends. It goes away. Well, for the Christian, 2 Corinthians 5:6 says, to be at home in the body is to be absent with the Lord. As long as our spirit is in this body, then we don't know the fullness of the fellowship of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:8, just two verses later, says, I'd rather, and I'm confident, I'd rather be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. So it tells me that whenever our spirit, or the believer, when our spirit leaves this body, amen, this body is dead. It begins to deteriorate, but the soul never dies. Amen. It is transported immediately from this place to the presence of a holy God. Amen. The spirit leaves the body. For the saints, we go to be in the presence of God. You say, well, my goodness, what is all that about? Can the spirit do something? Now, I know, friend, now listen. Don't throw song books at me. Please just receive this. I know that we talk about when people die, well, they're fishing the brook of life and whatever the waters are, the river, and you know that they're doing all sorts of things in heaven as if, you know, that they have a brand new body and all that sort of thing. The fact is they don't have a new body. It's the soul. It's the spirit. Amen? The spirit is left out of this body, and it is immediately in the presence of God. Now, I know there's a bunch of false doctrine about soul sleep and all that kind of stuff. Friend, let me tell you something. It is not scriptural. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for all who believe on Him. Here's this soul, that our living spirit, that goes away from man and goes into the presence of God. Say, well, what about that spirit? Can they communicate? Is it, are they knowledgeable what's going on? Well, certainly they are. In Luke 23:43, when Jesus was on the cross, and in that cry from the thief that was there, and the thief said, "Oh, would you remember me?" And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now, I want you to understand, they took his dead body off of that cross and they buried him, the thief. Hello, are y'all with me? His body was not in paradise, amen? But listen to me. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise, amen? What's that? That's the spirit. That lost, dying thief that the Lord Jesus saved in an instant, in a moment, friends. He was in the very presence of God when his spirit left his body. Amen? But he was in the spirit. Now, Romans 6 and verses 9 and 10, the book of the Revelation, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and we hadn't quite got there in our study on Wednesday night. Come, and we'll get there sooner or later. But said the souls, talking about the martyred folks of the tribulation here, the souls which are under the altar, and they cried with a loud voice. Now, I'm not reading all those verses. You can go back and get them. That's Revelation 6, 9, and 10. But the souls are doing what? They're the souls under the altar. But what are they doing? They're crying out. They're crying out, "Oh, Lord, how long?" Can souls communicate? Absolutely. It is the spirit realm and the spirit world. And absolutely they are aware of the surroundings and they know what is going on and is happening. When we see in Luke 16 with Lazarus, and we know that Lazarus and the rich man died, and immediately the Lazarus, the poor beggar, was in Abraham's bosom or paradise, and absolutely knew what was going on. Likewise, the rich man, he knew what was going on too, but he was in hell. What happened? His spirit left his body. He went to his eternal place. Amen. And listen to me. When The soul that knows what's going on. The spirit world knows what's going on. Are our loved ones having a reunion? Absolutely, who have gone on to heaven. Are they enjoying the presence of other saints? Absolutely, they're enjoying the presence of the other saints. Are they enjoying the presence of God? Absolutely, they are enjoying the presence of God. But friends, it is their soul that is in spirit form. They don't have their new body yet. Soul just left the acorn, but it hadn't grown an oak tree yet. Amen. But they are in the presence of God. Well, what happens at the resurrection? Man, it's 10 after 12 already. For those of you been looking at your clock. What happens at the resurrection? Well, at the resurrection, there's something very unique happened. Just like whenever God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He took a body and he took the soul, the living spirit, and he united them together. What happens at the resurrection? That's exactly what happens at the resurrection. The souls who have departed, or the Lord Jesus Christ who have departed from this life, and they're in the presence of God. The scripture teaches us that at the resurrection, there is a new body. Amen. It is incorruptible. The scripture, I love this scripture, said that there is also the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, a little old crummy acorn that could be easily just rotted away. But it is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. Amen. Here goes this little tiny acorn. Insignificant, yet now all of a sudden there's an oak tree. Amen. It is powerful. Not only is it incorruptible, that new body, but look, it is sown in dishonor. Our old bodies dishonor us. We have awful thoughts and we have sinful inclinations and we have all of the wickedness that is about us that is appealing to the flesh. But one day we will have a body that will be raised in glory. Amen. That our thoughts will be the thoughts of a holy God. Our actions will be the actions of a holy God. Our ways will be the ways of a holy God. And sin will have no dominion over us. Amen. And it have no entrance into our body. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. Oh, we're so weak when the world presses upon us and we have oppression and depression and the world tempts us and we want to fall in sin and all of that junk. We're weak and we're undone and we have emotional problems and all of that, friends. But listen to me. We shall be raised in power. Amen. Oh, you can crush that little acorn. You can step on it and wipe it out almost. But let me tell you, the new body, the oak tree that comes forth, my friends, is raised in power. Satan has no authority over it. He has no power over it. The sickness has no power over it. Pains and aches and oppression and depression, they have no power over it. Bless God. Amen. It is raised in power. It is raised in power. And look at this. It is sown a natural body, just like we are right now. But it is raised a spiritual body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, because we are flesh and blood. We are a natural body. But one day, the soul is brought forth. And at the trump, my friends, it is reunited with a new body. A new body that is spiritual and feels and knows the Spirit of God. One day we shall be like Him. Amen. In this natural body, there's a process of sanctification that's going on. God making us conform to His image and the way that He is. But one day He gives us a new body, reunites that soul from heaven with that new body. And all of a sudden, we are spiritually minded. We are spiritually empowered. We are spiritually alive in Christ Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. No longer the natural. But listen to me, the spiritual. The spiritual. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And the last man, Adam, that's Jesus, was made a quickening spirit, one that is alive for all of eternity. Amen? That new body we get, death will never, ever knock at its door. Never. Amen? It's a new body. One that is of the Lord. Oh, friends, how? Well, how does it happen? Well, if we look over just a little bit further, it says in a moment, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I want you to understand, folks, that at the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back in the clouds, and he tells the angel to blow the trumpet, he blows it so loud that all of those corruptible, mortal, dead bodies that have died in their spirit, they have gone to heaven and be in the presence of God one day, just like that, my friends. That right from the dust of the earth, all of a sudden comes new bodies, bless God. And listen to me. Somebody said, what about cremation? Now that poses a real problem for God. Amen. Somebody said, well, what about those ashes that were distributed in the ocean? Well, that poses a real problem for God. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. You know, the Egyptians tried to mummify and preserve the body and all that. But let me tell you something. Listen, you can take the best embalmment. You can take the best of preserving in a body and all that sort of thing. But if it's dead, it's dead. You hear me? And listen, if God can raise up, if he can raise up a body that's been preserved or mummified or put in a mausoleum or whatever it might be, friend, if he can raise that body up, a new body that is a spiritual body, that is powerful, that is in glory. Friends, let me tell you, that is in the very way of him, the very image of who he is. If God can raise that body up, do you think ashes scattered out on a field or in the ocean is a problem for God? Hello? Are y'all with me? Anybody get that? Amen. I mean, just, you know, this is a big miracle and this is a little... Let me tell you something. When God raises up a new body out of an old body, friend, that's went to the dust of the earth, that is perishing, let me tell you something. He can do it with anybody from anywhere at any time he chooses to do it. Why? Because he's God. Amen. If he could take the elements of the earth and make a body and breathe into it his breath of life and Adam could come a living soul, don't you think he can raise up anybody, anytime, anywhere, any way he chooses? Bless God. He's God Almighty. Amen. And they raise him up a glorified body. A glorified body. You see, we have hope beyond this life. In case you hadn't got that. We have the hope of glory. We have a blessed hope. Why? Through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, friends. They wrapped his cold, dead body up. And they placed it in a tomb, but on the third day, friends, his body was no longer there. Amen. Why? He had been glorified. Amen. Whenever they saw him later on, when the disciples saw him on the road to Emmaus, whenever Mary bowed at his feet, whenever he walked through the walls and joined his disciples in the upper room, he had a body, bless God, but it was a glorified body. And the laws of nature had no rule. It had no authority over it. He could walk through a wall. He could go through the air. He could ascend to heaven. He could come back to the earth. There was no limits to the glorified body. And because he got a glorified body, we too one day are going to get a glorified body. Amen. And we're not going to have cancer anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. This ought to excite you beyond measure. Amen. My God has something for his children.
Yes, yes.
He intends to glorify his children.
Yes.
And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's just a little further over in the chapter. Verse 55 through 57. Listen. We have a promise from God.
Yes.
Amen. For every child. Well, with one exception, when I talked about the rich man, I've been talking about the children of God and their glorified body. Somebody might say, and this is the last point that I want to make, somebody might say, well, what about those who are not children of God? Friends, they too shall have a resurrection. John 5, 28 and 29, and I'll just summarize it for you. It says, the hour's coming that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Now, not everybody at the same time, but everyone will be raised the same way. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. 2 Corinthians 5:10. All must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that they may receive the things done in his body, good or bad. There's a resurrection of the just. There's a resurrection of the unjust. That's not talking about works here. It's talking about did we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, whenever Jesus was asked, well, what good works must I do to be saved? He said, well, you know, now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind and being. Amen. The second's unto it, like love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Here's the work. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is, everybody is going to have a resurrection, and everybody is going to be raised from the dead. Friends, for those who are saved and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are raised an oak tree, if you will, from an acorn, a miraculous miracle of God, a work of God that comes and does more for us for all of eternity than we can ever think or imagine. But what about those folks who don't believe? They too are raised. But they are raised for judgment. And they are raised with a body that is going to live for eternity. But the fact is, like the rich man in hell, they are raised to eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 13 and 15 says that all will be judged according to their works, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. A body that will not be burned up, though it will burn. A body that will not die, though it is tortured and tormented. Their souls reunited with that body. But you see, that's not God's intended purpose. God's intended purpose is that we believe on Him. If you remember in John 11, verse 25, when Jesus was talking to Mary and to Martha, as he was speaking to them about the death of their brother, he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asked the question, do you believe this? Do you believe this? You see, friends, Lazarus was raised from the dead. But he had to die again because he wasn't raised with a glorified body. But what it was a picture of what God is going to do for believers. There's a resurrection. But here was the important part about Jesus' interaction with Mary and Martha. He was bringing their eyes from death to life. He was bringing their eyes and their attention to Him. I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you believe in me, you will never die. And then he asked the question, do you believe this? And you see, that's the bottom line. Friends, that's what makes the difference between a glorified body of the resurrected saints and a bodily resurrection of damnation for those who do not believe. Do we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior? That's what makes the difference. It's an awesome thought to have hope of Christ that goes beyond this life. But without believing the finished work of Jesus Christ and asking Him for forgiveness and submitting your life to His Lordship, friends, you have no hope of that. It is only through believing in His finished, completed work, submitting our lives to Him. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. We are His children, and we yield to Him. And when we do, friends, He saves us, and we have the hope of the resurrection, a brand new body for eternity. Let's stand.